session, or rather a public hearing today on Senate Bill 948 related to the Oregon Boxing and Wrestling Commission. And inasmuch as Senator Lim is one of the chief sponsors and works directly with that and has in the interim, we'd like him to go ahead and testify on behalf of this bill.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I pause? Yes, how are you?
Yes. The administrator of the Trade and Economic Committee?
Certainly, you bet.
I should say, gracious.
I'm big and strong.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. And for the record, my name is John Lim, State Senator from District 11. And that the boxing has been my deep interest in it in the past 7 years as a State Senator. Finally, seems to be coming, my dream is coming true, or hopefully today, with your support. Senate Bill 948 comes to you from the Economic Development Committee. The Boxing and the Wrestling Commission was established as a unit of gaming enforcement division of the Oregon State Police in 1993. The commission is composed of 5 members appointed by the superintendent of the state police, and the commission is responsible for the protection of the health and welfare of the contestants and of the public interest. Senate Bill 948 establishes the Boxing and Wrestling Commission as an independent state agency. Commission members are appointed by governor under this bill. A separate account is established in the state treasury for money received by the commission to be used for commission expenses. Both events provide healthy entertainment for Oregonians. They also contribute to our economic development. But the public interest in boxing and wrestling has decreased in recent years, partly because events have not been actually solicited for Oregon. By establishing Boxing and Wrestling Commission as an independent state agency, we can increase opportunities for the development of this sport in Oregon. And originally, we had a 2 bill. One was that Senate Bill 238, the other one that's sponsored by the Senator Gary George, and my bill is Senate Bill 948. Instead of we are going into the separate direction, I discussed with Senator Gary George, let's combine it together, make a good bill. That's what we're happening today. And Senator George supports this combining Senate Bill 238 and Senate Bill 948. Together. What we are trying to do, because of the time and the lateness of this session, and he agrees to got it, put this bill, the 238 into my bill. So I'm going to got out my bill, put his bill in it, and I have just one amendment in it, which all combined it together. What I'm doing in this bill is that the commission, instead of appointed by the state superintendent, only appointed by the governor, which will bring the commission much higher level. And then it is something kind of not quite feel right, appointed commission by the superintendent. I don't see any other agency appointed by the superintendent or director. So it will make the commission good appointed by the governor instead of the superintendent. That's what we have tried to do. That's all things combined in this Senate Bill 948-2. So I'm ready to answer any questions if you have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do all the committee members have the 948-2 amendment?
Yes. Mr. Chair, if I may, I spoke to the governor's office about an object to my amendment, but they expressed some concern that the Senator Gary George's bill, Senate Bill 238, such as wrestling testing, governor likes to keep the way as it is instead of changing to the lower standard, the national standard. I think what standard is much higher? Because of the higher standard, many of the wrestlers and boxing people, they are really reluctant to come to our state. So this will equal to the national, but it will lower the standard from what we have in our state.
National standards are lower than Oregon would be then?
I think so.
Wouldn't be able to fly them in on a helicopter or on a cable or anything like that.
And also I talked to the Oregon State police, and they are not objecting either one way or another. But still, that the Boxing Commission will be warehoused in the Oregon State Police to control safety and staff.
Okay. So, as I understand it, Senator Lim, with the Senate Bill 948-2 amendment, basically which deletes, deletes everything.
Everything got it out, and put the 238 into my bill. Exactly the same bill, and only added my amendment into it together, extra appointment coming from the governor's office.
Okay. And this language, which came substantially from Senate Bill 238, Senator, so that I understand,
yes,
has the governor's blessing and approval.
As far as the appointment, that the commission governor's office, is supportive of that bill, but not necessarily that the 238, which brings the Oregon standard to somewhat lower to the national standard. Maybe Senator Gary Jordan might have to explain that.
Okay.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Please, for the record.
My name is Carol Reeves. For the record, I'm the Committee Administrator for Senate Trade and Economic Development Committee. If you look at Section 12 of the Dash 2 Amendments, I think this is the portion that Senator Lynn is referring to that the Governor has some concerns about, and it's the testing requirements for touring groups that bring boxing and wrestling events to the state. Previously or currently, they are required to meet certain testing, drug testing standards, and it is believed that this is keeping certain events out of our state. And so this section of Senate Bill 238, which is now being introduced as Senate Bill 948, is that testing, relaxing of testing standards for which the governor has some concern.
Specifically, the relaxed standards under Section 12,
which paragraph is that, Mr. Chair?
Well, on page 14 and 15, it looks like it must be.
I think it was initially directed at steroids, Mr. Chair, the use of steroids.
Fiscal office analyst today is Paul Cedar. Paul?
Are these standards that are included in Section 12, are these the same standards that are included in 238A as amended by the Senate Committee?
Yeah.
And then, as you understand, they would apply only to touring groups? Most specifically, the World Championship Wrestling or the World Wrestling Federation?
Chair, I believe that probably Senator George can answer those questions more specifically than I, but that is my understanding.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Cook recognizes.
At the top of page 15, it says, actually continuing, says to provide entertainment by staging choreographed wrestling matches. I thought that was all real.
You know, I had been thinking about raising those station back in Ontario, Oregon, calling her about that. And they thought it was all real back there, too. I said, Jay's like a dancing troupe, choreographed wrestling.
Senator Perry, I'm crushed. I don't know about you. I can tell.
Mr. Chair, a lot of things, a lot of people think those things are gone in Salem are all real, too.
It's all staged.
It's all choreographed, Mr. Chairman.
All choreographed.
Mr. Chairman, I watched John Stoffel interview a wrestler one time, and he said in substance the same thing, where a wrestler slapped him to the ground. And
went on to become governor or something?
It's a very shaken Mr. Stoffel picked himself off the ground. Russell said, now did that feel staged? And Stoffel went after him again, and he slapped him down again. And that ended the interview, and I guess even though some of this might be choreographed, I certainly wouldn't want to be one of the dancers in there with any of the folks that are going to be doing these performances.
Senator George,
Senator Lynn, could you, are we going to run into some problems here? Page 16, it talks about the listing of items, physical items that are not certifiable as being a touring group.
I think that's fair to get George.
Okay. One of those is the AIDS related. Are we going to run into some problems in terms of political issues there, or do we currently now, as a state policy, and I don't know, it's an honest question, do we currently now in some cases exclude people from activity in the state that had AIDS?
None of the tests that are talked about for any of these events would be done with the blazers, with probably the shed more blood than the choreographed wrestlers would ever do. I think that's critical. Have you seen the actual questionnaire that the WCW sends out? I'll put, have you pass that around. Paul, we're going to make copies of some
cut-up
cards and do something else.
Senator George, relative to the World Wrestling Federation and the World Championship Wrestling, as well as those two particular groups, do those groups allow for testing of for steroids?
Okay, we're going to test this for the test room, I guess. Both copies are now in your hands, so I'll let you guys look at it. You could have a weightlifting championship come that might be done, it may not. The big issue is with McGuire, you remember last year. All these other events, if you were going to play an NFL big game, you would have been tested. But if you were playing National Baseball League, you wouldn't have been. But the question you have to ask is, if we're going to treat this group of people choreographed, because this is not an ordinary wrestling event, and you notice it's very close, carefully drawn to only pick out a certain kind of event. All of the other folks who would be doing what would be called a competitive boxing or wrestling event will be meeting existing standards.
Excuse me,
Senator. That's okay. One of the things I might give you a little bit of background, because
that was not a choreographed.
Call 911.
Somebody was trying to eavesdrop and it appears to be crazy after they are dancing around with the earful of the doorknob.
Well, you know, I think who was it? It was one of the reporters with first one was a Channel 6, I believe, where he went back to WWF, wasn't it? And he was reporting on this, and the guy did a body slam on him. It was really funny when he hit the ground. He got up with that look of that old Ray Stevens record. If you think this is fake, you wait till he body slams you. But these folks are highly trained professionals who work, you know, hour after hour, working, making sure these routines go exactly according to script. And I think that the fairness factor is so critical here because of the fact that no one else is requiring, anyone who's requiring anything like this doesn't have the event. And that is the real issue that got us going down this road. If I could give you a little bit of history, some of you who have been here for a while realize this issue goes way back. Because when the Boxing and Wrestling Commission was set up, if you look into the statutes, it tells you that they were to regulate an industry. In the last session, we dealt with this issue with my Parks Committee, and Larry Campbell, when he was Speaker, and before that, had dealt with this issue, trying to get a handle on why it was that we killed our industry. And I think it's just a great example of how you can kill any industry with overregulation. And so we asked the question in 97, we asked the question this year, you know, what is wrong? Why is it that this regulation has been so strict that it's prohibited anyone from promoting those kind of events? And you remember Representative Roberts, Lonnie Roberts, and Mike Fahey, those guys who remember when we had good competitive boxing and wrestling. You know, when you think about it, all of us are boys here, so we can talk, you know, a man to man. Some boys have a tendency towards a little bit of violence. You direct that violence with training. That's why we do, you know, the martial arts type things in order to learn discipline. Also, it gets some of that product that I was kidding Senator Ferrioli about out. But this was an amazing thing. I don't know how many of you saw this. This was an article that was in the newspaper. Let's see if I have the date on this. I don't have the correct copy, but I pulled out the quote. And it says this: "They want to make money," said Loren Glover, the new director of the Boxing and Wrestling Commission. "The way they make money is to get WWF here, and the only way WWF comes here is for the WCW, is if they don't have to abide by our rules." Now, you could say on one hand, well, that's a good thing, and we have rules that should be met. But why would everyone else be able to do these kind of operations except for in Oregon? So that might tell you that your rules are maybe overly strict. The main thing that we would like to talk to you about also is the idea of how the commission should be structured. Now, state police, during the interim, has kept me well informed about how they've proceeded to make this more reasonable. And we do have new leadership. The commission has now been brought back and is housed here locally where it can be observed. And so that's a giant step forward. But the consensus that arose within our committee, and it's too bad we don't have Senator Duke here, her basic feeling was, this is ridiculous. Let's just eliminate the commission. In other words, set up a set of rules. State police, if you violate these rules, you'd be in violation anyway. But what John and I attempted to do, my bill originally, what it did is incorporated things that the state police wanted, and then we added some other things to it that we thought needed to be done. And John's idea was to say, let's go ahead like we do with so many commissions and give them the independence. And I heard you describe it over the television set a little while ago, and so I think he did a great job of describing that what he would be attempting to do, and correct me if I'm wrong, would be to have the commission do honestly become independent. Because I think, you know, his statement right here to me was very revealing of an attitude of government that basically says, we don't want you to be here. Now, the good senator from the Beaverton area last session, she and I were talking about it, and we said, let's be honest. If we don't want any boxing or any wrestling, let's say, let's just make it illegal. But see, we won't be honest enough to do that. There's too much pressure for events. So what we said, okay, well, let's come up with a reasonable process. I think we've arrived there. We've maintained the integrity of the testing for competitive events, for the choreographer events. We don't do this to the Blazers. I'm sorry. We just don't do that. We don't do it to other events that might have some blood being shed. And, of course, this is a very highly professional and very successful type of entertainment. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I think it's entertainment. But I think John's idea, there are those out there who would love to see our young people involved in constructive things, and if Mike Fahey here or Ryan, they would, I'm sure, I can't speak for them, obviously, but they would be leaning towards the idea, I'm sure, of the idea that we would be providing opportunities. I'm starting to wonder, that means you need to be quiet.
Mr. Chair, for me, boxing
I'd like to use that as a tool for economic development. That's what I'm interested in. If we could bring the national championship into our area here, that means a hundred of a new job, that means a economic development. Especially already Senator Jordan mentioned that we have a young people troubled with crime and many others. I think with this, we hope to help them instead of releasing their energy to something else. If they do that, it will be good for them, it will be good for the state, it will be good for the economic development. In every way, when we look at the bill, I think it's the right way to go. And finally, if we have this bill, I'm proposing that the wrestling match between me and the lady, Senator George.
He's in better shape. I'm betting on him.
Well, now, Mr. Chair, I will be the first one to buy a ticket to see that. I will tell you.
You know what he'll do? He'll go jujitsu and I'll go press and rest Western on
him. Right. Mr. Chair, a question of the two senators before us. So I'm looking at the Act of Amendments for Senate Bill 948, and you're adding in a great deal of language here today specific to that deals directly with staged events like World Wrestling Federation, so on and so forth. And it seems to be a lot of seems to be an awful lot of requirements here to meet that, but these are still requirements that are normal or are associated with this form that the WCW has their people fill out anyway.
No, go ahead, because
I'm not concerned for that statement.
Oh.
That's what I don't know. I don't. You are Bill.
Oh, no, this yours? Isn't this yours?
Yes, this is all your bill or me. That's my bill.
I'd like to. All right, you're trying to merge that with this, right?
The problems that these kind of testing requirements are not the issue as to why WCW and WWF don't come to Oregon.
What is the source of it? Where did you guys? You're dealing with 948, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then all the bills and all the language coming from your 238. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, does it have the exclusions in there for the choreograph? I had, like I say, I'm just looking at this. Can you guys help me out?
Well, I'm going to
get it
back.
Oh, you get it back there? Okay. Right. And then that appears in the back of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Great. And you need to be here.
Any follow-up questions, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm still unclear. I understand the good senator's point about, you know, the reason they didn't come here is because they have so much regulatory issues to deal with, and they don't feel worthwhile to do that. It seems to me that we're adding a certain amount of regulatory issue here, unless that is something that these people approve of, because it looks like there are some things that are on their application for history and physical examination.
So do I understand that the senators are satisfied that we're not going to keep them out with this language
that's my question. Is this still too much to keep them out, or is this acceptable for people like that?
We have Mr. Miller here from the Oregon State Police Gaming Commission. So.
Okay.
It's gonna take one state trooper to keep these two guys in line.
Yeah, we
ought to be sitting in cream.
Gee, look, sugar, a chair. As long as they don't start throwing the chairs and going over the ropes.
What's underneath the desk from the hand and their feet all move together, choreographed back and forth there, just watch.
This is a pretty loose committee here. So this voice that you've been listening to is State Senator Gary George District 2.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bob Miller. I'm the director of the Gaming Enforcement Division for the Oregon State Police. To the representative's question on Section 12 of the Dash 2 amendments, the physical examination minimum requirements A through O or through P are substantially the same as currently appears in Oregon administrative rules. These are criteria that were worked out. There's some modification if you were to check. This is criteria that was worked out with the WCW and the WWF position. So, yes, this is the key component that was taken out that allows the WCW and WWF to come to Oregon is the current requirement of annual drug testing. And that's not a provision in here. There is a provision that all of our physicians, the Oregon's physician and the industry's physicians, that's why you see the determination that the examining physician must make a decision of whether or not there's no alcohol or drug addiction or evidence of drug usage. And what you see here is pretty much medical protocol anyway. If any of us were to go in for a physical, this is pretty much common protocol. And just as if all of us were to go in for a medical physical, we would not all be tested for AIDS, hepatitis, or drug usage. And kind of the agreement between our physician and their physician is that individuals are in the high-risk category, then that physician's not going to be able to make this determination without drug testing. But that's the physician's call. It's not a mandate from the state.
Okay, thank you very much.
That answers the question.
Representative Hansen, any questions? I have three questions that I need to have responded to from a position of protocol. The Committee on Trade and Economic Development, Senator George, were you the chair of that?
Well, that's
Senator Lynn. So, Senator Lynn, you have heard the bill. You had heard both 948 as well as 238. Is that right? Or did you hear some portions of them?
948.
And 238. And Senator George, you had heard 238 as the chair of that commission. Which commission was that that heard that? Or what's that
commission? We have the Ag and Natural Resources Committee.
Ag and Natural Resources.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like good luck to Boston. Do we have as the senators of regional jurisdiction over both the commerce and the Ag and Natural Resources? We have the authority from you, too, as the chairs of the subcommittee, to go ahead and gut the one bill, and which is a bill that you have, and replace it with your bill from your committee, Senator.
My main concern, which I expressed, again, from Senator Jerry George, my concern I expressed to John, and this is a political call you will have to make in your judgment, is whether you wanted to take this step to accept an independent commission, because I think, in effect, that's going to be the only change with the amendments. Is
my original intent was to take out completely an independent commission, but with the governor's office, we agreed that this commission still warehouse controlled by the OPS, only appointment that for the commission came from the governor's office instead of the superintendent. That was my change.
So then Bob Miller, as the director of the Gaming Enforcement Division, will continue as the OSP oversight. Is that correct? That's your understanding?
Mr. Chair, Bob Miller, that is my understanding, and that's certainly okay with the police.
All right. Thank you very much. The next question I had was relative to the governor's staff and Leron Howland from the OSP, relative to these amendments, which were basically coming from 238 as modified, to make sure that the OSP still maintained the oversight through the gaming enforcement divisions. Do you know of any difficulty that they have at the governor's office level relative to this particular issue?
Mr. Chair, Bob Miller, State Police. It's my understanding, well, I'll speak for the superintendent. For the superintendent, that has no problem with it. And it's my understanding that the governor's office has no problem with governor making the appointment still staying under the umbrella, the oversight staying under the superintendent.
Okay. And finally, I just wanted to make absolutely certain from both senators, do you see this as true economic development opportunity for the state of Oregon?
That has been my desire from the very beginning. And the purpose of the commission was to oversee an industry, and we would like to make sure that an industry not only continues but flourishes.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think this is the way our economic development is going on. And as I mentioned already, the parking industry is getting bigger and bigger. The film industry is becoming entertainment nationwide. I think this will bring a lot of jobs, a lot of tax dollars to our state. I believe this is a economic development.
It's my understanding that in addition, our statute, the large ending balance, 75% of that ending balance, would be turned over to the Oregon Children's Trust Fund. Is that your understanding?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Are there other questions of committee members of the good senators and Mr. Miller from the OSP?
Mr. Chair, just to state that the first time the WCW or the WWF comes into town, I'd like to see the two gentlemen wrestle and as the main event,
you know,
on national television. Yes, yeah,
I when you first mentioned that, Representative Krupp, I could just imagine Senator Lim in a headlock like Senator George, and that better really be something. I think I'd say ringside seats.
We could do that, and the money could go to the Children's Fund.
That's a great idea.
John has insisted that, as you notice, who has been a real promoter of this has been Senator Miller.
Mm-hmm.
So Miller was going to be his tag team, and I would be by myself.
Okay. I want to offer the services of Representative Krupp as part of that tag team, too.
He's mine.
Mr. Chair, however, I won't be wearing leather.
Let's fly you in on a cable.
Mr. Chair, I love the life insurance.
Senator, it's very elegant.
Is there an amendment to the NA2 in any section that requires any... every place that the word wrestling appears in parentheses, the word a choreographed presentation. Choreographed next to the word wrestling, serve a truth in advertising.
Folks, so the record is absolutely clear. Oregon law presently prohibits extreme fighting, so we'll make sure that the that's part of the record.
Mr. Chairman, it is not because of extreme choreography.
And Mr. Chair, I was going to say, I think at times in this body, at least on the House floor, we're in violation of that extreme fighting.
I think we're ready to move this bill.
Yeah. Chairman, I withdraw my question.
I appreciate it. Senator Lemon, would you like to come back to the diet, please? Thank you very much. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. Senator George, we're most appreciative of you coming to be with us. We're ready to go ahead and do a work session on Senate Bill 948, and the work session. And I would like to have Legislative Fiscal Office explain the fiscal ramifications of where we're at with the present fund for the Boxing and Wrestling Commission.
I don't believe the dash 2 amendments will change the fiscal operation of the commission in any way. The funds are still accrued to the account, and any balance will still be transferred, or 75% of the balance will still be transferred to the Children's Trust Fund.
And it's your understanding, as a part of the legislative fiscal recommendation, that there would be a 6% gross gate tax on the pay-per-view
the taxes are current law. There is a provision in the amendment for the touring groups. If they pay a gate tax of 6%, you'll find that on page 16 at the bottom in the last paragraph. If the touring group pays a gate tax equal to 6%, they can petition the Oregon State Boxing and Wrestling Commission for a waiver of up to two-thirds of the commission's 6% gate tax. I believe that was included because the Rose Garden, which would be the most likely venue for one of these, has a 6% gate tax already. So any troop coming in would be looking at a 12% total gate tax. So if they pay the gate tax for the Rose Garden, which I believe goes to the city of Portland, they can petition the commission to relieve two-thirds or be left with up to 2% or more gate tax for the commission. And as there is currently no income coming in from these two groups, if they did come in, any additional revenue would be additional revenue to their account.
And you don't see any difficulty with regard to the overhead relative to the Oregon State Police
it's going to remain
and enforcement division?
Yeah, it will remain the same. With these amendments, there is not a new independent agency created.
In your professional opinion, Paul, do you anticipate that the fiscal, which has been given to us today, which indicates an increase of estimated revenues in the next biennium of something in the vicinity of about $40,000 from $285,000 to $325,000 would be an accurate assessment of what would increase.
Actually, that fiscal is based on the original bill, which created the separate agency, and it reflects a change of revenue going over to the new separate agency for 21 months. So the projected revenue is
$325,666
for 9901.
Okay.
So what you see as an increase there is actually just 21 months of revenue.
21 months.
Yeah.
And under this amendment, we would actually have 24 months of the increase.
So there would be no change in the revenue stream.
Okay. Any other questions? Do you have any additional legislative fiscal report at this point?
No.
Okay. Senator Farrelly.
A question, Mr. Chair. One is the appointment by the governor is not subject in the amendments to confirmation, as I read the amendment.
I'm wondering if all government governor appointments are subject to. They're not, are they? There's only certain ones by statute that have to be confirmed. Bob, would you come forward again, please? In the past, where this has been controlled by the superintendent of the state police, have there been any difficulties with the commissioners that have been, or the directors in the past that have been appointed?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Bob Miller. No, there's none to my knowledge. The commission was originally created by legislature in 1987, and in fact, the governor made those appointments up until 1993 when the commission was transferred to state police. I don't believe at any time during the process has there ever been a confirmation process.
And the second question, Mr. Chairman, is page 8, line 11 and 12. You still have the superintendent appointing the director of the State Boxing and Wrestling Commission. Is that your intention to have the superintendent of the state police choose the director of the boxing wrestling commission? Or is that just a drafting oversight where the commission was hired as one director?
My intention was that the commissioner only. So I think it will bring some balance between governor's office and the superintendent's office.
So it was intentional that the superintendent select the director?
That's right.
Okay. Is that the understanding of the current state police?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ferriero, Bob Miller, yes, it is. And you might note in the statute that it's not a traditional appointment in the sense of a political appointment. We're required to adhere to DAS rules. I think it's a management A position, and so we go through all the, so it's actually a hiring process as opposed to an appointment.
And because that is under the direction of the superintendent of the Oregon State Police, it is subject to the purview of the Department of Administrative Service.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's correct.
So we have Department of Administrative Oversight, Department of Administrative Service Oversight.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for excellent questions. Further questions of members of the body? Are there any objections to passing the amendments to Senate Bill 942, the -2 amendments? Seeing none, let's go ahead and order the -2 amendments incorporated into 948, which basically adjusts and stops 948. Are there any objections to passing to the full Ways and Means Committee 948 as the president grows with a due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, if I could speak to it for a moment, and I'll support this. I'm really torn on it, though, from the standpoint of I'm not sure that boxing is that good of an idea anymore. From health, long-term health impacts to the boxing contestant. I think this is a better way to have the boxing commission run that. So that's kind of my dilemma. On a global issue, I think I could probably be convinced pretty easily to abolish boxing altogether. I'm not all that excited about bringing the World Wrestling Federation to Oregon. I think we've done relatively well up until now without them. On the other hand, that's more of a question of personal taste, and if other people want that as a form of enjoyment.
You'd rather have the offers?
That's a real close call on those two, but
I know you want the rock, yes.
Probably. But in either case, I think this is probably a better way to have the commission in. So I'll reluctantly support it, although I've got some more global
concerns. Let me see if I can assuage some of your concerns so that you're aware. We have, in Eastern Oregon, we've had to become fairly aggressive about this kind of an issue a few years ago, about finding ways to accommodate juvenile issues with fighting and street gangs and so forth. And we actually set up a Hispanic boxing program in NISA, which is probably 70% Hispanic. And a fellow by the name of Bloss Guerrera, which I believe wasn't he one of the members of the commission at one time? I think he was. Yeah, Bloss Guerrera was one of the members of the commission. And Bloss set it up. And everyone that was, when we were having high juvenile crime issues, those, part of the sanction was that they were involved, they were turned over to the program, the boxing program that Bloss Guerrera ran. And, we had a tremendous decline in aberrant and disabled youth program or youth problems as a result of that program. So I think there is some validity to what has been said today about the fact that if you can get them to work it out of their system, and there wasn't any that I'm aware of, there was never any bloodshed. They just had some good wholesome activity that was very well directed by Mr. Guerrera, and he did an excellent job. So I don't
have any problems in terms of the youth programs being good, healthy exercise, healthy activity, a wholesome environment. My problem stems from something reading that then would indicate that kids with either a long amateur career or a professional career, that there are some problems in terms of long-term brain damage from start again. But it's an issue we'll probably need to monitor and continue, and it'll be a national health issue that will either get resolved or won't, and we probably certainly aren't going to solve it today. Nor is it terribly relevant to how we set up the commission, which I think is the crux of what we're doing here.
Thank you very much for recognizing that. Are there anyone in opposition to or Senator Ferrioli?
I'm not in opposition, Mr. President. Just one final question, and it's just another drafting question. Is there any possibility that any other choreographed exhibition could inadvertently fall into this statute?
Like bungee jumping, is that what we're talking about?
Oh, no, sir. I was reading here. Section 12, that provides entertainment. That's taking choreographed wrestling matches, contests, or exhibitions. And I just wondered if there's any possibility of staging a choreographed exhibition could possibly be in the series falling under this section. Having nothing to do with the wrestling match. It begins on 131 of the page 14, line 1 of 66.
As designated by the Oregon State Boxing and Wrestling Commission, so they would have to co-designate it.
So unless they go into the business of ballet, there's no
possibility. At that point, I think that's good. But we can't contemplate today what might happen in the future, but I guess we could look into the future and that time anticipate someone else would be here with the astute ability to recognize this one. If there are no objections to passing 948 to the full committee with a good pass recommendation, we will go ahead and so order. And let's see, Senator Ferrioli, as much as you have so astutely talked to the issue of choreographing on...
Mr. Chairman, I think the honor of saying this still goes to Senator Lynn because of his fine work in the person
here.
Well, if I may, Mr. Chairman, it could be a co-carrier, Senator Gould and myself together.
On the Senate floor?
Yeah.
Okay, Senate floor, Senators Lynn and George.
Yeah.
And
Mr. Chair, might I suggest that they not come to the floor wearing tights?
I think that the Speaker of the House would probably concur with that, having we've seen our share of fights.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to carry it away from you.
Yes, I'd love to have you go ahead and carry it all the way to me, if you would, please. And there seems to be a toss-up in the corner over here. Representative Hansen doesn't like gloves.
Chairman, I say they step into the hallway to settle.
Let's see, what kind of gloves do we propose that they use as representatives? And see, padded?
Mr. Chair, I just don't want to be body slammed by anybody, especially Representative Hansen.
I think, Mr. Chairman, that honor would go to Representative Leonard, if anyone.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to nominate Representative Leonard to carry this bill since he's not here.
And to keep it bipartisan, I would concur.
is that a motion?
Choo-choo! Would you kindly inform Representative Leonard that while he was absent that he went ahead and agreed to carry this to the House floor?
It would be my pleasure.
All right. Thank you very much. I'd like to see that photograph. thank you very much, thank you, Mr. Miller.
Sure. And I avoided carrying this building before. That means it's called a lateral arabesque.
Appreciate that. Will that be fanciful price? Once that industrial culture, unfortunately, I was thrown free.
Oh my.
We're going to go back in the public hearing on Senate Bill 1127. We have received a fax since yesterday's meeting, and I was informed. Oh, you got a couple of them, okay. Well, go ahead. I was informed to make sure that we got on the record that Mr. Harp and Ann Warden, who had testified, were members of the association dealing with the OBRT, and were not necessarily members of the board of the Oregon Board of Radiologic Technology. One letter indicates that, for the record, Randy Harp and Ann Warden are not and never have been members of the Oregon Board of Radiologic Technology, the agency responsible for protecting public safety. They are affiliated with the Oregon Society of Radiologic Technology, the private professional association that exists to further the interests of its members. Now, that's on the penultimate paragraph in the letter that's signed by Glenn Lamb from the board chair. I guess the concern that I've got is that we recognize that there have been some ongoing discussions about the number of folks that have expressed concern relative to the various committees here. So, do we have signed up for some testimony for 1127 for the public hearing? Okay. There's another fax page that's come in to indicate that rad techs and hospitals are from 32 to 49%, not 90%. We have heard testimony, and I think the testimony was that in the hospitals and clinics, in fact, 90% of those licensed radiologic technology boards work for hospitals, and did not say hospitals and clinics. I think we had talked about that and had used the word clinic, but the facts indicate that somewhere between 32 and 49% were from hospitals, actually. I'm not sure where the rest of them work. Let's see, medical center, medical group, clinics, and the Oregon Health Science University. Like probably another nearly 30% work in medical centers, medical groups, clinics, and Oregon Health Science University. So somewhere in the center, 60+% appear to work in in those various fields. Okay. And then we have a letter as well. From Leslie Clements, Administrator to the Ways and Means Subcommittee of General Government. I thank you for the opportunity to submit this letter on behalf of the Oregon State Landscape Architect Board. The Board is in full support of Senate Bill 1127 and its current amendments. I regret that I've been unable to send a representative from our Board at this time, as we have been proctoring the semi-annual Landscape Architect Registration Examination. So evidently the semi-annual examination is being proctored at this time, and they've been unable to take care of being able to come over, and we appreciate that letter of support on behalf of Senate Bill 1127. Other substantive information from the letter that each member should have received from the Board of Radiologic Technology. Any questions by the board members? Board would note that successful transition to semi-independent status depends upon adequate level of funding and staffing in order to continue and regulate the profession, protect the public, and inform the public protection they are receiving because of OBRT's activities. Katie, do you have Ms. Katie Cannon from the Legislative Fiscal Office, is our Legislative Fiscal Representative. I failed to note earlier that Jamie Penn continues as our clerk today. Do you have any additional information relative to the position of the OBRT and 1127, Senate Bill 1127?
I had talked to the administrator today, and she apologizes for not being able to be down here, and so she did send the letter in support, and it's really extended the conversation.
The letter of support would indicate that the third of the four new additions that Senator Bryant has proposed to us on Senate Bill 1127, that is the Board of Radiologic Technology, does desire to be included in the board, in the semi-independent status board, as a member thereof, but expressing concern for adequate level of funding and staffing in order to continue to regulate the profession, protect the public, and inform the public and the protection they are receiving because of the OBRT's activities. We had tentatively discussed yesterday in public session the possibility of dropping the Board of Radiologic Technology from 1127 as a result of this in part being one of the concerns that they get a good handle on what they are presently doing and their administrative changeover and some carryover problems that were inherited by the current the new director in making up some of the historic issues there. I would, Senator Lynn, you weren't a party to this discussion. By way of review, there are presently five agencies that are included under Senate Bill 546. From the 1997 session, 1127, Senate Bill 1127 would add four more, or proposes to add four more agencies, the State Board of Massage Technicians. They have appeared before us and testified very much in favor of wanting to be participants in the semi-independent status for the first time under this bill and gain that status. We received testimony yesterday from some of the stakeholders in the Physical Therapist Licensing Board. They made it abundantly clear that they felt like that this was an appropriate thing to do, and we also heard the testimony from their association representative and lobbyist, Mr. Stephen Kafoury, indicating support that the physical therapist licensing board be included. And finally, the board of the trustees of the Children's Trust Fund, which gains nonprofit status under this process, and we had testimony from certainly Senator Bryant, and I don't know whether we had any other testimony from. We did have other testimony. I think was it. I can't remember who she kept on from. They felt that this was it.
It was Cindy Thompson and
okay, that's right. That's right. Ben DeHaan and Cindy Thompson. Ben is the vice chair, I think. I've got their letterhead here. We did receive excellent input from Mr. Ben DeHaan, who is the assistant director of the Department of Corrections and actually the board member, or actually the board chair for the Children's Trust Fund. And their testimony was that they were anxious and excited. They are a nonprofit corporation. This is an evolutionary step in their history. They felt like they could attract more donations. They felt like that some of the onerous requirements that they're under now are somewhat spendy relative to the fiscal audit. This would make them more entrepreneurial and would encourage endowments to them. So we had some excellent testimony from those folks. Okay, Representative Cruz, would you like to come forward, please? I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. Representative Cruz, adapt for the opportunity to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 1127.
Some more excellent testimony. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But you may be further out there, Jeff Cruz, State Representative, District 45. Chair, members of the committee, I have some problems with this, and on some philosophical level first, and the philosophical problem I have here, and number one, it doesn't surprise me that these boards aren't excited about being independent or semi-independent. Who wouldn't be? But the reality is that all of these boards exist because some legislative body wrote law to bring them into existence. And they exist solely because we have authorized their existence. And for them to kind of get out of the mess a little bit and for us to lose any ability, any levels of accountability over them, I think is shirking our responsibility, because they exist because we left them. And the Board of Radiologic Technology is a good example, and I'm not surprised that they are excited about this. We dealt with them in my Human Resources Committee this year. We came close to making them go away because the services they were giving their constituents were terrible. And they are now scrambling to try to get to where the technologists are happy with them again, because they certainly haven't been. And how were we able to get them there? Because we have the ability to have some impact on how they conduct business. Are we going to allow these folks to get to the point where they can set fees and we have nothing to say about it? Are we going to allow these folks to write rules so that they can be exclusionary of people coming into whatever area of service we're dealing with and us not be able to have input into it? These are some of my fears. I had some I had some real trepidation when we gave 5 boards the summer independent status last time. I'm willing to let that that experiment continue, but the 4 boards you have listed for new inclusion are all boards that are under the auspice of Department of Human Resources now. I have a we have a bill that you heard just the other day creating a new licensing entity inside DHR that deals with 9 small boards. I have a bill somewhere in Ways and Means down here in this labyrinth that I don't understand that would create a task force on boards and licensing inside for all of the healthcare boards. And because we do have some structural problems here, we have some access problems for members of these boards and also for the public. And it is our intention during the interim to see if there is a better way to structure boards. And we are dealing specifically with all of those. There's 38. There's some, don't quote me on that number, but a fairly significant number of these boards that are currently under the auspices of the Department of Human Resources. And for us to give these 4 independent status now on the front end of us looking at a different way to structure, I think is premature. And it would be my suggestion that we withhold giving them that status at this point in time. I don't think we're going to see a negative impact on their service to the people they are serving now by doing that, by waiting for another 2 years to see about a different way of restructuring. As far as the Children's Trust Fund, I think the testimony was accurate on that. They are moving to 501c status, and I think it's appropriate for us to do that for them. I think it allows them to function at a higher level if we do that, so I'm certainly supportive of that one. But Mr. Chair, I just think we're being a little bit premature by moving that direction with these other 4 boards.
So your objection would be to the 1, 2, and 3, that would be the State Board of Massage Technicians, the Physical Therapist Licensing Board, and then the Board of Radiologic Technology.
No, I'm not real thrilled with moving the National Pass either.
Well, the National Pass have already been booted out. We've already deleted them under a separate that was 4, and then Nature Path came out.
Okay. Well, then.
Yeah.
But the same was the same for them, too. That's all the testimony I have. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to ask them. We've got a real maze of these critters all over the place, and I think it makes more sense to me to do a deliberative, comprehensive look at them rather than kind of piecemeal them into different status than they currently have.
Senator Lennon is recognized.
When they become semi-independent, who sets the Q's and P's? They do or we do?
They set the dues and fees, and they have public hearings. It goes through a public hearing process only, and they go through a public hearing that would notify their members, and then they would proceed. Now, in all fairness, right now, under a Senate bill from the last session, I believe, or from the last couple of sessions, they can modify their dues and fees, and then it's subject to review of the next legislative assembly. Mm-hmm. And the Department of Administrative Service has some oversight in that process, my understanding. For instance, the OBRT went from $3 to $5 with the blessing of the Department of Administrative Service, and came down to $4 after a long protracted issue, and I think perhaps that's in part, but part of some of the frustration that Representative Cruz is referring to, having served on another legislative fiscal oversight agency on the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee that heard these health licensing boards. We watched that get duped out in front of that particular group, and finally they were stripped out of the main bill and we're due to hear those two bills presently. I get the honor of presenting those on the floor. Well, they were the next two up today, so they're going to be probably heard tomorrow. So that's been an ongoing concern.
Are you going to do those in Spanish also? Or?
Do you have a meeting tomorrow?
Yeah, we will not have a meeting on Friday. No, so Friday afternoon is Mr. Veer's, the service for Mr. Veer and West Haven, I understand. Representative Hansen, you've been involved in each and every one of these hearings. You've been here full for all of these. Would you have any objection to stripping out these three basically health licensing boards and leaving them out of 1127? Yesterday we talked about pulling out the OBRT.
Well, yeah, I would. We had, I thought, excellent testimony from the Board of Optometrists.
The Optometry Board of Optometry.
Where they were suggesting that they paid at least 7% of the cost by operating this way, that we talked about efficiency in government. This is an efficient way to run these types of agencies that take calling them charter agencies.
Under the 1997 legislature, they did testify that they had a good experience in the 2 years that they've been involved in semi-independent status.
And my guess, he's kind of guess from working on the changes of government for 16 years. All boards, agencies tend to go through kind of good times and hard times, and they get either good chemistry from the board and the people they're regulating, and they go through stages, then they go to bad, sometimes bad chemistry. They work through that onto a better day, and we always have legislative oversight in terms of any of these semi-independent boards. If we thought their conduct was outrageous, we could create legislation to abolish them. We make the rules for them. But I think the experiment with the semi-independent agencies has been good, and I'd like to see it continue.
One thing for the benefit of Representative Cruz, so that he gets a little bit of feel of one of the questions that we ask all of the licensing boards. Some of the information and the for the 2465, I believe that put the health licensing boards together under one roof of administrative responsibility. Because they are small, very small boards and share, one third or two thirds times the position. One of the items of testimony that was gained there is that there is some efficiencies in doing what they had done. One of the things that was discussed amongst the boards that we were talking about here was and that incidentally 2465 came about as a result of the Pew Commission study. It was done in 1995, and it was I think that's the bill that was presented to us by Representative Lewis to encourage that health oversight, that health board health and oversight. One of the comments that was made was to encourage, and it's a it's one of the 10 findings of the Pew study, was that individual professional boards in the states must be more accountable to the public by significantly increasing the representation of public non-professional members. Public representation should be at least one-third of each professional board, according to the Pew Commission study. And I think that will require statutory action in order to make sure that those uh, and, and the And this, it's my understanding, this is in keeping with the Pew Commission study and encouraging the non-professional public participation is going to be important.
Mr. Chair, I'm not going to disagree with that. I think that is important. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with Representative Hansen, except to say that I think this is a premature move. I truly believe that we, you know, having sat on the seat, and I'm not saying anything disparaging against any of these boards per se. It's more the concept of doing this. Having sat on the Human Resources Interim Committee and having dealt with some boards who pretty much like to have their own way and are fairly headstrong, and when we're not in session, treat us a little differently than they do when we are in session. And those of us who have been around know that happens. I'm just not sure that it is time for these folks to be let out of the nest until we have put in place a way that we can deal with them. And you're right, Representative. You know, if they get out of line, we can craft legislation, do something about it. But it's to a degree that's it's not as easy as it sounds in all cases to you know, you do legislation to do something that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be that easy to do other legislation done to do what you've already done. So there's no guarantee in that. So I guess what I'm hoping for is a chance to build the proper structure before we move any of these folks anywhere. And I am speaking specifically, all of my bills specifically speak to health licensing boards. And, you know, it's a direction we've been going all session. We had a subcommittee dealt specifically with these issues. And the task force bill was a result of a session full of work, and so to arbitrarily pull out these four and say they don't have to be part of that matrix, I think isn't good service to people of Oregon.
Thank you very much. Just for the record, we have -4 amendments, which pulls out the naturopathic physician or the naturopath examiner, if I beg your pardon. And that -4 has been approved by Senator Nelson, this having come from his substantive committee. We have -5 amendments, which gives pecking order and seniority rights, transfer rights, job bidding rights, all without loss of seniority. That amendment was received and has now been accepted by the substantive chair, Senator Nelson. And Senator Nelson did authorize -6 amendment to drop the RAD text as he had done with the naturopathic examiner. So we do have those issues of substantive authority that have given us an opportunity to make those modifications.
And, Mr. Chair, I want to apologize. I have not contacted Senator Nelson. This kind of caught me as I was looking at other things, so I just thought I'd come down and speak to my concerns. And,
thank you.
And if you're going to move, then you move. But if you're not going to move and I have a chance to talk to the senator, I would do that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate your testimony today. Without going into work session yesterday, had talked about the possibility of going ahead and pulling out the RAD text. Naturopathic physicians have already been pulled out by -4 amendments. Ms. Patterson, would you like to come forward? You testified before the commission, for the tech committee.
Yes, I did. For the record, Mr. Chair, Ed Patterson, representing the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems. And I just want to comment about a question about the veracity of a statement that I made in my testimony regarding the number of radiological technologists employed by hospitals. And there was a fact circulated that indicated there was a 601 hospital-employed radiological technologists. And someone wrote a handwritten note down here that says it's only 32 to 49%, not 90%. My signal was about 90% of radiological technologists are employed by hospitals, which is one of the concerns that we have. And just to clarify for the record, Mr. Chairman, they list hospitals on this list of employed radiological technologists, and they also list medical centers. And the two are synonymous. Medical centers are hospitals. And someone misinterpreted what that said. But those two locations alone represent 935 of the radiological technologists out of 1,161, which is very close to the 90%, and I didn't do the math. But also some of the Oregon Health Sciences University rad techs are employed in hospitals, as well as some clinic radiological technologists. So I want to clarify for the record, because of the question whether my statement was accurate or not, that when I said about 90% are employed by hospitals, that truly is a fact.
And I think I, in later testimony, Mr. Patterson said 90% of those licensed RTs work for hospitals or clinics, which would include those that they have listed in their and their facts there. I appreciate that. And that clarification, I honestly never questioned the veracity of what you were saying. As I mentioned earlier to Representative Hansen, I very seldom see a pickup truck driving around the neighborhood with radiation put on the back saying, cheap x-rays done here, overnight or anything like that. But, I mean, these are all licensed in their various locations and spots, they're abundantly, and I think that was one of the issues that we duped out, the Department of Human Resources and the Economic Development and the Licensing Board, the Health Licensing Board, and them through this committee, was the issue of, for goodness sakes, why do we need additional oversight? Most of these folks are all employed by rather major organizations. And we have to recognize, too, that there's state licensing and national licensing, and then when we got into the issues of those that were defined for oncology, those that were defined to do certain other issues, every one of them had different sets of licensure that they were subject to. And I'm absolutely amazed that they're able to keep everything in order as well as they have been, because it's a phenomenal amount of licensing and oversight that there is. But I, at no time did I, nor did this statement bring into question anything that you testified before.
I appreciate it, Mr. Ambassador. That's my stock and trade, as you know.
Thank you very much.
For whatever it's worth, we also, Russian Cruz indicated, the Health and Human Services Committee hear all of this stuff, and although we just had two sessions, you don't serve on one of those committees without hearing scope of practice issues of all kinds of issues having to do with licensure boards. I think we support his idea of having an interim task force to look at the whole gamut of healthcare licensing.
Thank you very much. We're still in public session, and I would like to, do you know where Representative Cruz is, or Representative Crupper is, as you just stepped out momentarily?
I think he is, Mr. Chair, being fitted for a wrestling tag for his.
Okay. Yeah, why don't we have him come back down and let's,
Representative.
What would your intention be on this bill, to move it forward with just the rad tax solutions? Or the rad tax, and then
I would, my inclination right now is, based upon our discussions from committee yesterday, would be to go ahead and drop out number three as of the four additions of the semi-independent status. My inclination would be to drop out the rad tax and to proceed with additions to the semi-independent status, the Board of Massage Technicians, the Board of Physical Therapy Licensing Board, and the Board of Trustees and Children's Trust Fund, and let them continue with this, morph us into the semi-autonomous status, and see if, and if we, obviously, if we have problems in that interim, gives us another 2 years of experience. The experience, as testified on the first five, has all been quite good. And so, with the exception of the Board of RADTECH, my inclination was to, but I wanted to make sure that we had some feeling of general consensus there. I think it would be appropriate at that point to just go into work session and see if we have some consensus on that. And so at this time, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1127, and we will open the work session on Senate Bill 1127. Now, Ms. Cannon, do we have a copy of the Dash 6 amendment?
Chair Butler, no. In getting permission from Senator Nelson, I did not have the appropriate time to get it done.
Okay. But basically, it would say delete line blank, which would be the...
I had drafted a request to legislative council, and what it would do is first of all, it would take out the references to the various statutes that relate to radiologic technology, and delete line 21, which is
the Board of Radiologic Technology.
And then it would take out the sections on page 11, which are lines 19 through 45, on page 12, 1 through 36, and then they would renumber everything on that.
We have substantive authority from Senator Nelson, who has previously heard Senate Bill 1127, to continue with Dash 4 amendments to drop the naturopathic examiners, Dash 5 to include the seniority rights so that the seniority would include all the transfers of job bidding rights without any loss of seniority, in addition to the present language in the bill. And the Dash 6 would then clean up the rad check, would eliminate them from the pay charges of the bill, of Senate Bill 1127, delete them from line 21. 21 would be deleted, and then other language to delete the rad check would be cleaned up within the bill. Are there any discussion relative to those amendments?
Which means we could be able to stay under the state, not as a semi.
The rad tax would be fully controlled under the state with full DAF oversight.
But if I was missing last 2 days, I'm doing the DAF. But do we have any bad experience giving them semi the independent status? Do we have any bad experience not giving them?
All of the testimony that was given regarding the first five under the 1997 Senate Bill 546 was testimony, positive testimony that they had some growing pains, but they were able to make it through. Senator Lem, one thing needs to be done, and that is that there needs to be an according to the Pew Commission, Health Commission report, there needs to be an examination of the language dealing with the public members. We see that as
an issue of accommodating the needs of the public, accommodating the needs of the boards and protecting the needs of the public. So that is an issue that would be important. So,
well, certainly I have been a strong advocate for privatizing and privatizing in the past, but after the consensus that if you need my vote share to move it out, I will support that. But usually, you know, that's not my intention. But I think we are only two members, and I'm willing to support.
Okay.
Yeah, share the intention.
This takes a step closer for privatization for
some of them.
For some of them.
Yeah. Not
but not all of them.
Yeah.
The naturopathic examiners and the Board of Radiologic Technology would not be taking that step closer to semi-independence at this time.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, Representative Hanson.
Well, similar to Senator Lim, I'll support this to move it forward. I don't favor taking radiologists down. I think this is, I think we beat that horse long enough this session. And I'd like to see the healing chart, and I think a good break from their path to now would be to move them into semi-autonomous status and let them move forward and work on the problems that have been identified both this session and clarifying some of the financial difficulties that they had been in previously. I mean, it's a little bit disingenuous for us to have criticize them for raising the rates and then cutting their budget and then denying them an opportunity to move into a streamlining situation.
They're in a state of triage at this particular point. They're not fully back on their feet. And that isn't as a result necessarily of anything that's currently happened. I think there was some inherited issues that they came through, and I think they are coming through. And we have done a 48-month analysis to try and get that. You remember that is the one
and different. Obviously, people have different views of where they are now and where they should be. I see this as a good time, as a break, moving into semi-autonomous status and streamline the procedures and let them move forward. By the same token, I'm real good at math as long as I'm working on just two hands. And I'd like to see this bill move out of committee.
I would too. I guess the concern that I do have is that the only one that we had severe negative testimony about was the Board of Radiologic Technology.
And that battle is
not over.
Yeah.
It's not over. The association and the board are at odds. And I think to throw them into a semi-autonomous status at this particular point, while they're basically in an advanced state of triage, would probably be fatal. That's my own personal opinion. I don't mean to impose that upon the group. It doesn't mean that in another 2 years that they couldn't come back and be absolutely whole. So.
And I see that as we look at all of these groups, 2 years from now we'll have a different group that will be in that kind of a situation, and 4 years from now a different one, and that, you know, they sort of, only at that point, the one that will be healed won't be semi-autonomous anyway. But still, like Senator Lynn, I'd like to move this forward. So,
okay. We have three amendments, the four, five, and six amendments. Dash four amendments drops the naturopathic examiners. Is there any objection to receiving the dash four amendment to Senate Bill 1127? Seeing none, we will order those appended. And the dash five amendments are the seniority rights offered to us yesterday by Representative Leonard. Are there any objections to receiving the dash five amendments to Senate Bill 1127? Seeing none, we'll order those added to the 1127. And finally, the dash six amendments, which are proposed to us today, as a result of our discussions yesterday, to drop the radiologic technicians, the RADTECs, similar to the Dash-4 amendments for naturopathic examiners, to remove them from the Senate Bill 1127. Are there any objections to removing the radiologic technicians? And that noted for the record that Representative Hansen indicates that he objects to that. Being no other objections, we'll go ahead and incorporate the Dash-6 amendment to Senate Bill 1127. We have now then five presently under the Senate Bill 546. The new bill is the 1999 session Senate Bill 1127, which would give the Board of Nephrology Technicians for the Physical Therapist Licensing Board and the Board of Trustees of Children's Trust Fund gaining semi-independent status for the first time under this bill. Do we have legislative fiscal council recommendations?
Eliminating naturopathic examiners, ready to hire the technicians, and also the Dash-5 amendment.
Okay. Any fiscal impact relative to effect on expenditures or revenues or positions at the...
Sure, but number six, no, there will not be any impact as far as FTEs. It's a little bit independent of the fiscal impact because some of the things are offset, and some of the startup costs are offset by some of, for example, state government service charges that will not be incurred. So I think it's been a kind of a wash between, and a lot of it depends on their ability to contract for certain services with, you know, within the budget.
At this time, then, it's proposed that we move Senate Bill 1127 through the 86, or through the 1127 as amended through the Dash-6 amendments to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any objections to that motion? We will, if there are no objections, then we will go ahead and move that to full committee with a due pass recommendation. And I'll be happy to share with the full. Do you feel comfortable carrying it? Let's see. Personally, Hansen, how do you feel? Would you feel comfortable in the House on that?
Senator Lim,
that was well choreographed.
Senator Lim was kind and courageous enough to offer the courtesy of both of the chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'll volunteer to carry the bill on the floor.
For the Senate, so we carried by Senator Ferriero.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And we will then close the hearing on Senate Bill 1127. Thank you very much. Yes, we'll move on to. Thank you very much, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, very kind. We appreciate it.
We're working some shifts.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, this is making a stretch every time.
Yeah.
Good approach, Mr. Sitting back there behind the
I'm going to go to the next one.
Okay, we'll go ahead then with our an open for public hearing and a continuation of the public hearing on Senate Bill 327. I wonder if we could have the Legislative Fiscal Office Representative Mr. Dallas Lyon give us an update of where we have come so far.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. As you know, this bill started off, Senate Bill 327 started off to amend the retirement benefits for certain Department of Forestry personnel. There was an amendment that was proposed that was make a technical adjustment for the Public Employees Benefits Board. The remaining two clause is because of the remaining two clause, the committee essentially philosophically went along with that, and Public Employees Retirement System had no problem with that being incorporated as part of the bill. So that part of it has been settled. We did need to get the approval from the chair of the Substitute Committee for which that bill. This bill came, and we do have it in writing. Senator Duncan has approved the A4 amendment to Senate Bill 327, which is the one that dealt with the Public Employees Benefit Board issue. So we do have approval from the Subject Matter Committee to deal with this in this committee. Yesterday, questions were raised about the retroactive benefits that are incorporated in the AMGLO Senate Bill 327 that had to do with the additional retirement benefits for certain of the firefighters. The firefighters are deemed to be firefighters part-time during the year in the Department of Forestry, and that was an issue. We found that one-third or more of the estimated fiscal impact was attributable to the retroactive portion of the bill, and that the prospective cost, or the cost of prospectively putting this in from the date of enactment forward, would be at the maximum about $200,000 per biennium statewide. And this only applies to state workers. And that would be all funds, general, others, and the like. Again, concerns were raised about the cost then of the retroactive benefits, the cost of the retroactive benefits. We met with Public Employees Retirement System people and with representatives of the Public Employees Union, and we this has been reviewed with Forestry also, that Public Employees Retirement System originally introduced this bill to be prospective. It had no retroactive benefits. The retroactive benefits came about as an amendment in the Senate committee. We looked at funding the retroactive benefits with employee contribution, much like buying back previous service. This was discussed, and we went to legislative council and asked them to draft an amendment that would separate out that portion, the prior service costs, and make them available for purchase or to be funded by employees. That's the -A5 amendment you have before you. This amendment would require that the prior service costs would be to the Public Employees Retirement System, all prior service costs, they would have to be determined on a case-by-case basis. Would the cost of those benefits to the Public Employees Retirement System would be fully paid by the employee? and the terms of the payment were left to the only requirement in statute is that the payments be made, that the cost be paid within 90 days prior to 90 days before the employee retires. This bill only applies to current and future employees of the Department of Forestry. It allows the Public Employees Retirement Board to, by rule, set in bonus plans for employees who may wish to make overtime, say from now, at a given point in time to a date of retirement or 90 days prior, to fund through payroll deduction or some other method, to purchase those prior retirement service credits. Again, that was discussed, and we felt that the Public Employees Retirement Board could do that by rule, and that way there's changing laws out there. There's a bill before the legislature right now which would allow employees to bypass service credits through pre-tax dollars if that's something that is approved by the Internal Revenue Service, to give the employees, Public Employees Retirement Board, the flexibility and to work with the various retirees or prospective retirees who felt that they could do it through rule rather than make it in statute. So the only statutory requirement for payment by the employees is that the full payment be made by 90 days before retirement date. But it does allow them to pay under a variety of installment plans. It is approved by the board. This amendment has not been reviewed with the substitute committee chair, Senator Duncan. We just received it. But it has been reviewed with members of the Public Employees Retirement System and with representatives the bargaining units. I believe it has been reviewed with forestry, but they are here to testify. And that is where we stand now. This amendment, if we go forward with it, we would do a new fiscal impact statement to reflect that. The prior amendment, the -A4 amendment that the Public Employees Benefits Board, is a no-cost item. We have looked at it, but we will update the fiscal impact to reflect that also. So if this amendment is to move forward, at least for consideration, we will prepare an updated fiscal impact statement to show the effect. There would be no effect just by any, because the rates are adjusted at the beginning of each biennium, and the rates for the 1999.1 biennium have already been established. And we for the Composed Retirement System personnel actuary, their actuary has agreed to work with us on this. That is where we stand, sir.
Thank you very much. Are there questions of Mr. Wine? Now that we've come a long way from where we were at yesterday, I wanted to, particularly the members of the House who were here yesterday, to have the benefit of bringing it up to date, being brought up to date. Do each of the members, will they have had the opportunity to receive, we can get a copy of this, but Mr. Steve Delaney from the PERS was kind enough to provide us with some research that has been done through the PERS system of other, I think there's at least a dozen different, at least a dozen different statutes and methods by which other folks have been brought on to the PERS system and have been able to buy credits into the system and how they have done that in the past. And so I just wanted to share we're not breaking any brand new ground, and again the metamorphosis of 327, Senate Bill 327 has been that we've had an amendment thrown in by the Public Employee Benefit Board to use the CERS is a vehicle for them to accommodate their insurance needs. And now we have a better understanding that the CERS brought this issue forward on their own motion to take care of the prospective issue, and the legislative fiscal analysis indicates both the prospective as well as the historic issue, and the amendment, the dash A5 amendment, would accommodate the purchasing that an employee who is employed by the Department, the State Department of Forestry, may acquire creditable service by paying to the board an amount determined by the board to represent the full cost to the system. And it's important that we understand that it's the full cost of the system in order to provide the credit to that firefighter member. And so there would be some overhead cost in getting that set up for the members as well. And under this section, under this subsection, that cost, that full cost would have to be paid. It has to be paid at least 90 days before the member's effective retirement date. I think it may be appropriate that it might be appropriate to go ahead and hear from Rich, if you, Rich Pepper, if you'd like to come forward. I know that you are representing the bargaining units in part for the Department of Forestry under the Oregon Public Employees Union.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, for the record, Rich Pepper with the Oregon Public Employees Union. Also, for the record, this is not my normal voice. It's also not a Godfather imitation. It's just laryngitis. But I am here to say that we are in support of the amendments that have been worked out on SB 327, and I'm happy to answer questions if there are any questions. I think that the staff legislative fiscal has fully explained the issues, so if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, but we're pleased to, and we hope that there will go forward and pass with the amendments.
I'd like to, are there questions of Mr. Pepper at this time?
Well, it'd be kind of amusing to make an answer if you
yeah, this, and he just got closer and closer to the microphone. I'd like to, if I may, I'd like to declare just a 2-minute recess, if I might. Could we do that? We'll come back in from recess. Let me take counsel from Legislative Fiscal Office. Can we reschedule for Monday, Senate Bill 327, for one more public hearing? And then if we are close to some issues that we could take back to our co-chairs, recognizing that they are in negotiations and facilitation right now regarding the budget issues, if we can narrow down by Monday at 3 o'clock or whatever time we would be meeting, could we reschedule
it? And at that time, I will have prepared an updated fiscal tax statement.
Thank you.
With the -A4 and the -A5 amendments. If that's okay with you.
And Representative Hanson, you feel comfortable in coming back and treating this one more time in a public hearing fashion?
Fine. Okay.
All right. I just want to make sure that we're not that we're all on board of the same ship. We're rowing this thing together.
I will review the -A5 amendment with the Subcommittee Committee Chair, Senator Duncan, to get his okay again.
And there may be other issues that you'll review with Senator Duncan at that time. Okay. that being the case, thank you very much, Mr. Pepper. We appreciate it. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't just take off when we have a point here.
Okay.
And we will have copies of all of the documents, amendments, and so forth available to any of the groups, including there is one complete application left over for the World Championship Wrestling. The front row. You want two copies, okay? Yeah, two copies for the front row. With that, we thank you for putting up with us.
We don't have to bring him into purpose.
Thank you very kindly. We'll go ahead then and close until further posting. Senate Bill 327, we will have Senate Bill 327 set for public hearing again on Monday at 3 o'clock. We're under the 24-hour rule now as we sign these items. Thank you very kindly.